Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to do a little Q&A sesh. A little Q&A sesh.
Sesh.
I've been saying sesh a lot, like study sesh, you know. It's a little okay. Q&A session. Little segue. You know, we've got this really big Facebook group, right? Selfs and Wardrobe Facebook group. And as a business owner, people are always telling you, you know, be careful. Don't put all your stuff on Facebook because Facebook is Facebook and they could shut down or they could shut down your account
right.
You know, it's you're building on someone else's land, right? Like you're renting, right? Instead of, you know, putting it on your own website. But like Facebook is so convenient and it's easy to upload pictures, you know, and stuff. And so I've been doing a little research on hosting our community on a different platform. And it'd be like our platform. And that's the thing is people like build on your own land, your own website. And it's like, well, you're still building on like a host. I don't have my own server for Sewhere.com. You know, I'm still.
And we won't have one for a while.
We're not going to like get a server, you know, and house it in our, you know, so you're still kind of, quote, building on someone else's land. But there is an app called Mighty Networks. And so how this would work is, you know, you, dear listener, would download this app and then you'd open it up and you'd be in Sewhereland. And thinking about doing that, and I looked into it a couple years ago, and they didn't have some of the capabilities I wanted, but now they do have video streaming. Video streaming, unlimited storage space for photos, because we are such a photo-heavy community that putting a forum on our website wouldn't do it. Like, we'd have to get some custom coding involved and pay for a bunch of server space and things like that because people love to post pictures. Maybe Mighty Networks thinks it's unlimited until we join and there are pictures, so many pictures in our community. So anyway, it would be ad-free too. It would be just like I'm only visiting the sewing group.
Right.
You know, when I open this.
So you don't have to become a member of it.
Well, you have to like, you do have to like sign up. You have to like give your email address and
but
like log
in. But you're not a member of the Almighty Network.
That's right. Exactly. You're only a member of like Sew Here. Now, there are other, actually a podcaster who I really admire, Paula Pant. She is the host of Afford Anything. And I know we have some like personal finance nuts in our audience, and so they might know who she is. She has her community there instead of on Facebook, and I looked at it so that if I open the Mighty Networks app, I can like choose. So here, I can choose Afford Anything, you know. You know, I think that we would. It gives the option for business owners to charge. I think we would keep it free for what we do, and so yeah, no ads, no adjacent. You know, like. Political stuff.
No trolls.
Well, there could be a troll, but it's really, it'd be really easy to, kick them out. Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it's important to follow the news, and I do, but there are certain news stories that, like, I do not need to be seeing, like, really. And so I would not have to see those. I'm not even talking about them. They're like psychologically, you know, triggering. So anyway, you know, I asked in our Facebook group, I said, you know, if we move the community, what would you, you know, would you come along? And of course, I'm asking people who are on Facebook if they leave Facebook, right? And so
we don't have to leave Facebook.
No.
You just have to go someplace else
but it's,
to see our.
You know, it's not as convenient necessarily if you're always opening up Facebook. But like, also, I've had people email in and be like, man, I really wish I could join your community, but I don't do Facebook.
Right.
You know, or hi, Gail, create fake accounts so that they can come on Facebook and only look at the group, you know, which I kind of wish I could do. So anyway, you know, just kind of thinking about that, it's something that we could sort of test out, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and see. So anyway, keep an eye out in your email inbox for that. I think it might be better. I mean, honestly, it's a little bit selfish. I think it might be better for, like, my mental health if I don't have to go, man, I just find myself scrolling sometimes, you know?
No, I know.
And some people are okay with that, and it's not bad. It's not like I'm not making, like, a moral judgment, but, you know, here we are. Okay. So, or if you have any feedback on that, let me know. Mallory@sohere.com. Okay. We are answering a question today on the podcast. Actually, I like to, you know, we like to split these up like one question first half, one question second half. And Dana gave us two questions nicely segmented. So right. Thanks, Dana. Dana says, I'd love an episode. I'm thinking through. Oh, wait. No. Oh, maybe it's not Dana. Hold on. Wait. Oh, I'm going to use one of Dana's questions. Okay. Somebody, not Dana, asked about hem facings. That's what we're going to talk about first. Sorry, Dana. We'll get to your other question. I lied. Okay. Hem facings, how to make them, like if they're not included in the pattern right. or, you know, or what they are. And I think that this is a really great topic, hem facings.
I do too.
And before we get into what a hem facing is, make sure you know what a facing is and you know what interfacing is.
Right.
I saw this happen in a different Facebook group where the person read the instructions, take the facing and sew it right sides together or apply it like to the right side of the right. fabric and then turn it. And what they'd done is they'd fused interfacing on the outside of their garment.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, man, like that.
So they hadn't done it before. And then
they were just unfamiliar with, right. like, the terminology. So for those of you who are really new to this, interfacing is a product or, you know, you'll hear ZD and I talk about cotton organdy or right. it's a type of fabric or something that adds stability or adds body to fabric.
Right.
I guess.
And
right.
you usually add the interfacing, get it,
uh-huh.
to the facing. You're not adding it to the garment.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically adding it to the wrong side of the facing because then it winds up sandwiched.
Yeah. And okay. So
between, you know, your outer garment and the inner facing.
Right. So even if you, though, like, let's pretend there's not a facing on the garment.
Mm-hmm.
Interfacing, though, almost always will go on the wrong side of the fabric.
Yes.
So here's, like, warning bells should have gone off because
right.
we don't.
Just think
you
about
know.
Interfacing should be
inside.
The peanut butter in the sandwich.
Yes, yes.
Right, right.
And then, but that's a really, you know, people always ask, like, which side of the collar does the interfacing
right.
go on? Does it go on the under collar? Does it go on the, you know, top collar
right.
on it, like a button-up shirt, you know?
Right.
And then same kind of thing on a facing. So that's a very good point that normally that would be applied to the facing. So why facings? What is it? What's a facing, Mom?
Well, a facing finishes the edge of a garment, whether it is an armhole or, a neckline or a hem
mm-hmm.
or what else? A cuff.
Like,
I mean,
you can face an opening like that has buttons and
right the, so the facing right. usually extends like 2 to 3 inches inside the garment. Okay, so again, it's adding shape and stability.
It can add shape, stability, weight. It can mm-hmm. work together sometimes with a lining.
Right.
Or not.
Or the other thing that's nice about a facing is you can put trim, okay, inside, let's see, how do I describe it? Along the edge of the finished edge. So like a
piping
would go there
uh-huh.
or rickrack goes there really well.
Rickrack
was big for me, boy, when I was in junior high.
Were you a big rickracker?
Yeah, little piece of the rickrack just sticking out right like,
so it just
at
you
the
like
bottom
scallop.
Of the
scallop.
So
yeah.
that was it. I said, the armhole, but also a sleeve.
Yeah.
So the other, and since we're talking about embellishments, the other thing that's great
now
about...
Now we are. No.
Well, about, that we were talking about. The other thing that's great about a hem facing or any facing is, say you want a scalloped hem.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can sew that scallop, with that facing and then turn it and you have a nice finish. So you're not trying to turn up like curves.
Yeah, I want to talk about facings with linings just real quick. So when you have a lining for a garment, lining fabrics in general, or a lot of the time, they're generally lighter weight.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you see the inside of the garment a little bit. So you have part of the inside of your garment is a facing so that you can use the outer fabric for just that little part that's 2 to 3 inches inside the garment.
Right. The whole idea is you're not seeing a different fabric on your finished edge.
But also that facing is a separate piece sometimes so that you can interface it and your hem gets stabilized too, preserve shape like a scallop or to add weight or whatever. So they work in conjunction for an aesthetic purpose and also a functional purpose and maybe even a money saving purpose, because
that can be true too.
You know, I made that like wool boucle jacket, and it's got a facing with the lining, and the wool boucle was like whatever, $1 million the yard. So instead of course, and who wants wool boucle on the inside of their jacket anyway, right?
It gets really bulky.
Yeah, it gets bulky. It would, you know, catch it. Well, I'll tell you what, it's bulky.
Yes, it's facing. It is. It's bulky now.
It's bulky right now. We don't look at the back of the neck of that jacket. So anyway, so just so you know, those can sometimes work in conjunction with a lining or whatever. Facings can sometimes be sewn down to the garment. So Zadie said, okay, this extends 2 to 3 inches into the garment. So with a neckline. You know, picture your shirt that has whatever neckline. I don't care if it's a jewel neck or a V-neck or whatever. But then, you know, 2 to 3 inches away from the neckline, you have a piece of fabric that ends. Okay? Right. So sometimes that can be stitched down. You will see it. You will see the stitching. Okay?
Through all layers.
Maybe that's okay with you. If it's not, you could not stitch it down. And then sometimes we get the flippy facings that people get so frustrated with.
Are we stitched at the seams?
We can tack. Kind of.
Do a blind, basically a blind stitch around the whole edge. The other thing that you want to do with your facing is you want to finish
the edge
that you are not sewing.
Applying to the garment.
Right. Yeah. To the garment.
Very, very good. Very good point there. So sometimes people end up, I know this kind of goes outside the question of hem facings, but sometimes people decide they don't want it facing.
Right.
They're going to finish it a different way because their facings flip out a lot. Or, like, I have seen something. I don't think certain necklines really lend themselves to facing, and then I see it on things. So complex necklines, sometimes people just choose to line the whole garment.
Right. You know? The other thing you might see is the facing flip to the outside and sewn down and a trim applied on the edge or the edge. So you have this look of, oh, I've got, you know, my white dress with my big navy blue band that's around my collar, and it's basically a facing.
Yeah, so it's
it's flipped to the outside.
It's an aesthetic choice. Right. It finishes it. Ta-da. Now, when a facing's flipped to the inside and doesn't work with a lining, I guess I can't say 100% of the time, but almost 100% of the time, I'd finish that edge with the 3-thread narrow.
Absolutely.
I'm talking knit. I'm talking woven. I'm talking...
We're talking the least bulky
finish
that you can have. Now, here's the other thing you do have to consider. Is your edge going to show? Is your facing going to show? Yeah. You may need a lining.
You may need a lining or... If you wanted, depending on the bulk, because like most of the time I don't like to do this because of bulk, you can like then flip that edge over again. But once again,
but that's,
we're adding bulk. Yeah,
I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
And this is why when you said sometimes you don't want a facing, that might be the reason. It might be the fabric that you chose. So now maybe you're going to bind that edge or something like that instead of a facing, because you're not looking for body and you're not looking to add any bulk and you don't want this. So you have a fabric that's like semi-see-through, right?
Right, right.
You know, like semi-opaque or
whatever
way you want to go.
Are you a half-opaque or a half-translucent person?
Is the glass half full or half empty? So, you know, those, and that's why we have all these different finishes.
Yeah.
I'm a biggie. I really like, not only do I like, you know, I like a bias finish.
Yeah.
And I also use a bias sort of as a face, as a hem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
As a...
Okay. So if someone wants to draft a facing, okay, I think that actually this podcast is just about facings. So we're going to take a break and come back about talk about drafting facings.
Okay.
Okay. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your thigh.
Or your head.
Oh, yeah. The head, right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it
right.
will be accurate.
Right.
Right?
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers, or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person
right.
or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure
from the zero end.
Yes. Right. Right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So you've got...
you have imperial. And you have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that.
Where fabulous.
You want something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Okay, so I think we talk a little bit about drafting facings, sewing facings on, choosing fabrics mm-hmm. for facings. So your facing, if you don't have a pattern for one.
If there's no pattern, it doesn't come in the pattern, right.
You actually do have a pattern for one,
right.
Okay, but it did.
you have a pattern.
You just don't.
That does not include facings.
Yes.
Maybe that pattern decided to just give you a bias finish.
Yeah. In fact, I would almost like it if a pattern manufacturer, like I'd be cool with this, if they had just a line for the facing and they'd be like, trace this.
Right.
You know, because that's literally
what
it is. Okay. So if you need a hem facing for something or a sleeve facing or whatever.
Or a neck facing
or an
armhole facing. All these things. Right?
All those facings.
All you're doing is taking your pattern piece. And what I do, this is the way I do it.
Tell us.
Lay down my pattern piece, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't even have to be cut out. In fact, sometimes it's easier if it's not cut out.
Yeah, yeah.
But you do want to make sure that it's not going to shift or move, right? So you may want to put it down with weights, or you may tape it to your cutting board. However you're going to do this, pin it to your cutting board. I don't care, but you want it not to move. Then you take your tracing paper and put on top, which we like medical exam paper. It's a big thing that we use here.
Yes, we do.
You put it right on top of that pattern piece, and you can see every mark, every line, everything through it, and you trace the outer edge of where you want to face. And then you decide how wide you want your facing to be. So if I want my facing to be, you know, 3 inches wide or 2 inches wide, I consider that the seam allowance is there.
The seam allowance at the bottom, that raw edge of the garment's there.
Right. So I know, I'm tracing a neckline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's on the neckline, and I know that on the edge there's the 5/8 inch seam allowance. So from the 5/8 inch, or adding the 5/8 inch, I add my 2.5 inches, because that's basically what I've decided I want my. And there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Now,
you got it. And transfer all your markings.
The other thing here is you say, okay, I want a 2.5 inch facing. So I'm going to just, put that 2.5 plus 5/8 inches on there. And then since I normally finish with a 3TN, it's not like I'm cutting anything off. I'm just like making that blade make a lint, like we say, right? Like just ride right along the edge of the fabric. So I don't really feel the need to put another quarter inch there or anything.
And the other thing about finishing it, one way I used to, before I had a serger, right? When I was I was cranking out all of these woven dresses for myself when I was a kid in school, right? How I would finish my facings was I would just take, say, a quarter inch from the outer edge, right?
Yeah.
Not the edge that it was going to be fit, the inside edge that was going to be, inside
in the
garment. And I would stitch in those days, it was like 12 or 14 stitches per inch. Right now, you would do a 2.
Right.
Right.
A smaller millimeter.
Right. So, and I would just put my presser foot on the edge of that and just stitch that tight, tight little stitch around there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because most all of your facings are going to be on a bias. They're not on a straight grain. They're really not going to ravel
easily. They're not going to ravel a lot. Yeah.
Anyway, right. So that would work for me, and I would not have the bulk, and I would not have a line.
Okay. So let's talk about your example is for a really simple garment where the neckline is like the front of the shirt and it's all one piece.
Mm-hmm.
What if this is some kind of garment that's all seamed together? Okay, like it's like mm-hmm. you want a hem facing on a princess line sheath. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7, seam lines there. How would you draft that? Would you just draft that off the garment that you'd seamed together?
Probably not.
Okay.
Okay. And it would depend on this garment.
Yeah.
Okay. I would see if any of those seams laid flat.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So probably my back seam, my back upper shoulder seam.
Right.
Probably would lay flat. Now, on some people, it doesn't.
Right.
Okay. But I would avoid as many seams as I could. And you might not be able to avoid as many seams.
So sometimes facings are, what do I want to say? They are pieced together.
Yes.
So if you have multiple pieces coming together to make your hem or make your neckline, you have to make a facing for each of those pieces.
Right.
You have to seam them together because, like you said, they might not lay flat. There might be shaping at the neckline.
Now, what you can do is make those 2.5 inch pieces or whatever, 3 inch pieces. Okay. Draw those out. And this is like doing a muslin for your facings. Okay. Draw those out and stitch them up and see if they lay flat.
Right.
Okay. Because at some point they're not.
Right.
At some point they start to curve
around the body.
Right. So this is absolutely going to depend, on the specific garment. So I'm making a princess line garment dress, say.
Right.
Right? And I have a high neck. Well, my pieces are laying nice and flat. But I say I have a bigger swoop type neck or open neck or ballerina neck. They're going to curve faster.
Right.
Because my body starts to curve.
Yeah.
But if they're laying flat on my chest, I might have just one piece around the front.
Yeah, so it can depend. I mean, your best bet, your safest bet is, you know, doing a facing for each piece. But if you do determine, okay, right here at this point in the garment, when they're sewn together, this is laying flat. But you got to think about it. When you start to trace that out, you got to add, you know, or eliminate seam allowance, one or the other.
My other cheater way?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have laid out my garment, and then I've stitched it together, right?
Uh-huh.
And I don't have a facing.
Yes.
So then I take my facing fabric, and it's a big rectangle or something, and I lay it where it covers where I want my facing.
Uh-huh.
Correct? I lay it there, and I stitch it on the garment, right? And then I go back and trim down to 2 inches.
Whoa.
Now, this doesn't always work, okay? But a lot of times it does.
Yeah.
So I have stitched my facing on without a pattern. I shaped it later.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like when we talk about binding a knit, and you're like, right. Well, I'm just going to make this piece, you know, 3 inches. I'm going to stitch it, flip it,
or
go.
It's like when we talk about a scalloped hem. Don't cut the scallops.
No, do not cut the scallops.
You want a straight, you know, a straight piece, two straight pieces of fabric, and you're going to draw the scallops on them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to sew in, you know, those drawings, those your stitching lines. You're going to stitch on those stitching lines. Then you go back and cut away the excess.
Yep.
Because it gives you a better stitch. You know,
so much more stability.
You're not trying to match up all these scallops.
You know, on the scallops, what you're going to get is you're going to get lopsided scallops.
Right.
You're going to get scallops where it's like, oh, this is where you sew down the scallop,
and
this is where you
sew
up the scallop.
I about go crazy when I see like a TV tutorial or something, and they're like, hey, this is, you're going to make a scallop skirt. And I'm like, no, stop.
ZD goes crazy on every TV tutorial.
A lot of them.
Yeah. So anywho, let's talk about facing fabric. So it can be almost anything you want it to be, right?
It can be the same fabric.
Same fabric.
Especially
different fabric.
If you're not wanting that under fabric, especially like around your neckline or your armholes, right?
Or like your hem or something. Like if you have a slit or something.
Okay, so here's facing, big time, right? Practical facing. You're a tall person. Oh, what is that like, everybody? Just tell me what that's like. I just can't even imagine. But you're tall, and you buy a ready-made pair of pants.
Right.
And you let the hem out, and it's still not, you know, and it's just long enough.
Right.
Okay, just long enough. You can face that instead of turning it up
that's,
the hem.
That's a zigzagger broadcast. We have that.
Yeah, we have that.
About what to do if there's not enough fabric to make a hem. Yep.
The other thing you can do is if you have a very shapely sleeve or pant leg or something like that, right? So it's gets very small down at the ankle and comes up very fast. It's very hard to hem that.
Yeah.
So you want to make a facing.
I wanted to say that is a lot of times a hem facing is a really good idea for a really curvy hem.
Right.
For kind of that
shirt tail hem goes up. Yep.
A lot of people like to do that on the shirt tail hem on knits.
Yes.
Because they don't have a cover stitch machine or they're not confident in handling that curviness on either their sewing machine or their cover stitch machine. And that hem on that t-shirt is generally a place that doesn't need to stretch.
Right.
So you can face that knit hem. You can face it with a knit, but you can use like a straight stitch. You know, you can also,
if it doesn't need to stretch,
right?
You can face it with a woven.
You can face it with a woven.
Right.
So
when you face these things, right, you're probably facing with a lighter fabric or a similar fabric,
right?
I
can't think of heavier.
If you want to add, you know, if I'm making, somebody was making some sort of cosplay thing.
And
they were like, how do I make these gloves stiff like this? And I'm like, any soft and
foam,
stable.
Yeah.
So there, you know, you put foam in them. But, you know, and that, you know, that's an instance where you're lining something with something bigger and bulkier.
Yeah, I could see somebody incorporating like a foam or incorporating even like some kind of canvas to get some kind of shape to stay. And cosplay is like a really good example because
or
some artists
Snow
drew.
Snow White's collar.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so like, or who's the Angelina Jolie?
Maleficent. We were just talking about that. Yeah.
Right, so what you put in her collar is like anti-soft and stable, or the craft foam. Honestly, it's some craft foam is not bad,
well,
especially for Halloween.
Okay, I know we love anti-soft and stable,
right?
But there have been some products that have come out recently that are like specific
for cosplay.
I am cosplay foam.
Yep.
You can sew me and paint me, and
yes,
and I come in metallic colors
right,
and stuff.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
So there are, and I'm not as familiar with like the names of those things,
right?
But those products do exist, even though I will always, you know, love Annie Soft and Stable.
Can paint a lot of different things. Here's the deal, guys.
Paint a lot of stuff.
If you're going to paint it, you got to try it first because paint can dissolve something.
Yeah,
you know, or just wrinkle it up. Yeah. Like it looks, you know, turn it into a prune. You always need to try that stuff.
Yeah, so the cosplay, I love how it's evolved and the materials that have like come from it. Because
it is neat.
Because
what's happened.
I remember wanting, okay, I want this weird shape that somebody drew that, you know, like Belle's dress in Beauty and the Beast
right.
looks like it's made of, like, bubbles. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like it's made from some kind.
Because somebody got to draw
it. Yeah, they got to draw it. Doesn't it look like it's been, like, piped?
Yeah.
Like, it's,
yeah.
You know, it does yeah. not look like fabric. And, you know, when she picks it up, all of a sudden she's picked it up and the dress has actually added volume to it and fabric doesn't actually act like
well,
that, you know,
it is
and
similar like, to Disney hair.
Exactly. You know? It is Disney
like
hair.
The ponytail goes like this and then they let it down, but it's shorter, but oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
how did that short hair get into that perfect
yeah,
ponytail?
I didn't know,
yes,
but,
exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's cool that we have gotten these materials that can duplicate the visual look. I do absolutely love that. So yeah, you can draft a facing. I guess maybe somebody might think, I don't know if this is true. And now I don't even know who asked the question because I thought it was Dana. It's not.
Please let us know. And,
sorry.
And admonish us for not remembering
I'll
your name.
I'll find it.
Yeah.
I just screwed up. But somebody might think that, might have heard that linings are sometimes drafted to be larger or smaller than the garment, depending on what it is. And they might think facings also have to be done like that. And that's actually not true. They're pretty one-to-one.
Right. Right.
You know what we didn't talk about is grading. When you sew the facing on, like grading and understitching.
Right.
Let's go back to maybe our neckline facing.
About
yeah, we're totally going backwards because this is important. Yeah. Talk about that.
So you're
going
to sew. Okay. So the piece you're sewing is the exact same piece. The outer and the inner are the exact same piece.
I call this one-to-one. I like
one-to-one,
to call it that.
They measure the same.
Personally.
They curve the same, whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
And you sew them right sides together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do grade or understitch first. What do you do?
Okay.
Because it depends on the garment for me.
Well, I feel like you've told me before that you grade first and then understitch.
Yes.
And I am intimidated by that.
Okay.
Okay. So
it can be intimidating.
This is a burning ZD question that I've been waiting to ask for a long time.
It can be intimidating because you're trying to catch all those layers, right?
Yeah, I don't want to grade it before I understitch it.
Basically, the tops are the understitching. Whoops. Forget that top part. The understitching because you're sewing on top.
Yeah.
But it's called understitching.
You're telling me you can see all the layers. You're telling me I don't have to worry about catch. No, you're not.
No, you should catch all the layers.
I know.
Right. So what I'm saying, you're afraid you're not catching
them. I'm afraid I'm not
going
to catch all
right.
the layers. Yes, thank you.
So
yes.
Understitching goes on the top of the
inner fabric.
The inner fabric. Thank you. The facing.
Yep.
On the,
in this case,
right.
We're talking about facing.
So it goes right off, you know, right next to the seam line,
uh-huh.
right? And I like to use a fairly long stitch, too. I don't like to get real tight in there. I want something that can sort of move.
Three.
Okay? Yeah. If I'm using like a two, you know, it can really make that kind of tight and it doesn't want to move and then shape mm-hmm. when I go to turn it. So what happens
distorting it.
Right.
Because you said it's on the bias sometimes.
Right. So what happens is when you don't really turn this to stitch it,
uh-huh.
you're really laying it as flat as you can, if
right.
that makes sense. So what you're laying flat is the seam and not really the pieces.
Uh-huh.
Because what you're really going to have is, like, say you're sewing together two big, like, donut circles, right?
Right.
So the edges are bigger than the inner, right? Mm-hmm. The outer is bigger than the inner. So when you sew this, you are top stitching right next to that seam. And this is going to keep it from rolling out.
Right.
Okay?
This is...
So what happens when you actually do turn it then mm-hmm. is... just a little bit of the outer fabric creeps over into the inside of the garment. And that is what it's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Mallory says.
I am afraid.
She's afraid to grade.
Yeah. First.
I have had things I've been afraid to grade on and I haven't.
Okay.
If it was slick or something like that or really, really fine, I have not graded. But ideally you will grade.
Mm-hmm.
And what grading is you're taking the seam allowance and you're cutting, you've got two seam allowance, you know, two pieces of fabric in your seam allowance
mm-hmm.
and you're cutting you're cutting both of them away.
Yeah.
And you're cutting one shorter than the other.
Right.
Okay. So it should be like, I'm saying like a quarter inch and 3/8 inches maybe,
mm-hmm.
right?
Difference, yeah.
You know, so which one is the shortest one, Mallory?
The one, the inner one.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
I'm
so it would actually be the facing that's shorter.
No.
Because
is that right?
Yes.
Maybe I don't grade
it's
right.
It's the facing that is shorter because what
so
you're
because yeah, okay,
you're moving the outer fabric and the facing to the facing side.
So you're
Am
telling
I correct?
Me you're telling me after this is understitched,
right?
But I flip the facing up, I only see the outer fabric.
Right.
Okay,
you're
so going I'm
gonna
to catch
see,
it.
You're going to see the wrong side of the outer fabric.
Okay, so I'm
if you flip
okay,
it
so
up
I,
and look inside.
So I'm grading wrong, which is why I'm afraid to grade.
Oh, okay. So Mallory doesn't know how to grade.
Mallory doesn't
okay.
don't ask her.
So I'll give her a bad
That's
grade.
That's why you're here.
I'll give her a bad
oh,
grade.
Oh, you know, grade. We've talked about this. The word grade means levels. You
right,
know,
right.
Like you grade a slope
right.
or you grade a paper.
Or there's
you
a
know,
grade
like,
to a slope.
Right,
right. Okay, so... the other thing you're going to do here when you grade is you clip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So where do you clip? You clip the curves.
Yeah.
And if it's pretty straight and you don't have to clip it, you don't clip it. So you use the very ends of those really, really sharp scissors.
Those,
right?
Those ZD's favorite scissors, maybe.
That's why ZD uses those. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you clip first, too. And that allows you to get that perfect shape
mm-hmm.
and get that. And, you know, then when you turn, it's going to lay nice and flat.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I love to put in a really pretty facing. I just love it. Now, if I was going to put in any sort of decorative trim or anything.
Yeah.
I would decide where that was going to go, and I would baste it to the stitching line on the outer garment.
Right.
Okay. So
okay.
that's what I would do.
I understand.
And if it was something with the flange or
flange,
like
yeah.
piping.
Yeah.
And you might wind up grading that also.
Right. You might grade the flange
right.
so that it well and so maybe so that it curve too.
Right.
Or
well,
clip,
and the thing
so it
usually
curve.
Piping is on the bias,
right.
so it usually goes in there pretty well,
pretty nicely. Okay. I'm glad we talked
so
about
that's
that.
That's understitching, but you're actually top stitching on.
The facing.
You're facing with all the layers of the fabric to that side
yep.
and only the body of the garment right.
We've
to the
talked
other side.
About understitching too on the podcast before,
yeah.
so that should be, you should be able to find that. Okay, well, I think that covers our facing.
I thought there That's was pretty... something else besides understitching.
You
we
talked about grading
and
clipping.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that I was like, oh gosh, we would okay. be remiss if we did not speak of that.
So, one of my favorite places to put a hem facing.
Where is it?
is on my pants.
Oh, yeah?
So trousers, say, are like sort of...
You don't wear trousers, though, so...
I used to.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I am. I'm getting ready to do this on a pair.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's kind of a fake facing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I really think it's fun to make a slit up the front or up the back of your trouser hem.
Yeah.
Or your pant hem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can do this on knits, too, even if they are tight to your leg, right?
Right.
So you can do that with a facing
mm-hmm.
by just, and here's what you do, guys. You don't cut the slit, mm-hmm. right? You just put that facing right sides to right sides, and then you mark where you want that slit to be. You just make a straight line, right? And then you sew up one side of it, and you move over like 3 stitches, and you sew down the other. I hope this makes sense.
Well,
and then you slide, and then you cut in the middle.
Yeah. Uh huh.
And then when you turn it, you have that little slit.
Yeah. This podcast does not talk to you about how to like face a kick pleat. Okay.
Right.
And that is
so the way I do scope. A fake one.
Right. A fake one
is usually. I make the pants too long.
Uh-huh.
And then all I have to do is turn up the hem right sides together. So my hem is on the outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can sew that little slit in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sew up and then go over like 3 stitches and then go down. And then I cut between it and then I turn it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sewing around the bottom too.
And
okay.
You have not, you don't cut these slits beforehand. You know, that's
don't
key
do it.
Here.
You'll
right?
never get it done.
Yep, yep.
It won't work.
Well,
but anyway,
boy.
Then you come up with this cute little
then you have a little vent
around,
slit thing
around you, and it also allows you to have your pants longer if you want them longer. But you'll see this also like on capris too, like on the side of your pants.
This is actually one of the reasons I didn't put a slit in that sequin dress because
mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't want to deal with what I would need to do to finish this,
right?
Because I was short on time and mm-hmm. all sorts of other reasons,
didn't need
you know.
A slit.
No, and I didn't need a slit either. So yeah, okay, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. We hope this helps with hem facings, and facings in general. You can get to us at SewHereCom on Instagram, and then hopefully I'm actually on our new network right now. I'm like poking around and seeing if we would like it. I have category topics. Okay, so Mom, you can like, you open the app and there are topics.
Wow.
And I have an activewear topic and I have easy tea class questions, M2M leggings questions, home decor sewing. So we could like put all these topics in there.
And people can find them.
Now, you know, we've had this group for like 5 years now or something like that. So there's a lot of knowledge in there. I mean, that's one of the things that would be, you know, maybe wouldn't come over right away.
Right.
You know, so, but boy, I kind of like the idea of not being on Facebook. It is seeming more and more attractive.
Well, I think
to me.
The other thing that happens on Facebook sometimes in groups is people will go through and just join groups.
Yeah. And,
or they get invited to groups or Facebook suggests a group. And all of a sudden, you've got a lot of inactive members.
And I guess I don't like have a problem with that.
No.
I don't think. But it could be, I think what you're trying to say, like a really intentional sort of community.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be like, oh, well, if you join, you have to do this, this, and this, or something like that.
No,
I'm,
we're I'm not that group that says you have to sew something a certain way in a certain amount of time.
No, but that could...
I use those tactics at home.
Okay, well, you can get to us at SewHereCom on Instagram. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SewHere.com.